a famous French director, and a good friend were arguing over the value of modern movies. And the friend was complaining he didn't like modern movies because you couldn't tell what was going on. They muddled the plot. He said, a story ought to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And the famous director said, of course, but not necessarily in that order. Now, whether you agree with the director about modern movies, he made a point about real life. We think we know the narrative of our lives. We think we know our beginning, our middle, and our end, but in fact, we do not. We cannot. We understand the narrative of our lives only in hindsight and then only partially. The Bible is often very clear that we never really know the narrative of our lives under the providence of God. Think of the story of Joseph. Joseph, whose talent and ambition so angered his brothers that they grabbed him, sold him to slave traders, faked his death, and said to one another, good, we've put an end to that little twerp. But instead, Joseph rose to prominence in Egypt. By his vision and his acumen and talent, he would end up feeding his brothers, keeping their families alive. And after their father died, the brothers were sure that Joseph would wreak vengeance on them, but he articulated to them a truth gleaned from the prison of hard knocks. What you did to me, you did out of evil, but God drew good out of it. What you thought was my end was only my beginning. We come this morning to the story of two followers of Jesus who think they bring the story of the Christ to an end. Whether it was disgruntlement with the cost involved in a woman's doing obeisance to Jesus and breaking a bottle of costly nard upon his head, whether it was general disillusionment with the direction of Jesus' ministry, or whether it was just to aggrandize himself, Judas betrayed Jesus for a price. And he thought he was bringing his story to an end. Judas did not realize that under the providential power of God, none of us understand the ambiguity of our actions. And what Judas thought was an end was actually the catalyst to a new beginning. There was Peter. Peter, who thought by his cowardice he had betrayed not just his friend Jesus, but an entire cause. We find him weeping because he laments his cowardice, his shallowness of faith. He weeps because he remembers our Lord warning him, the evil one will tempt you, and he let that warning roll off his soul like water. He thinks that by his denial of Jesus, by his betrayal of his friend, he has brought an entire movement to an end and certainly signaled the end of his faith. He could not imagine that under the creative grace of God, his cowardice would become a catalyst for his courage. He knew his treachery was important, but he did not understand how it was important. He could not envision that God could take his failure and use it as a springboard to grooming him to be the leader in the early church. What he thought was an ending was actually the catalyst for a wondrous beginning. Most of you in here recognize the name of Gilda Radner, famous comedian who died of ovarian cancer at age 42. In the midst of her illness, she wrote an autobiography, and she wrote on the book cover, "I had planned to write the perfect ending. I had planned to write, she defeats cancer. She overcomes the disease." But then she wrote, "I found out poems don't always rhyme. Stories don't always have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And sometimes you don't know which is which. All you can do is live in the present and make the most of it." You really don't know, because your life, my life, has delicious ambiguity. Delicious ambiguity. Our lives have a delicious ambiguity. What we think is the end of something is sometimes just the middle. Sometimes it's just the beginning. Under the creative grace of God. I think of a young man fired from his job. He's trudging home thinking, what is he going to say to his young wife? He's lost yet another job. He has proved an utter failure as a businessman. And he's going to have to say to his young wife, "I've lost our only source of income." He fears that she's going to give up on him. She fears that she's going to cease to love him, that their love is coming to an end. His life is coming to an end. But when he tells her, "I've lost another job," she leads him to his desk, points at his pen, and says these words, "Now you can write." And with those words, the career of Nathaniel Hawthorne, great American author, begins. What he thought was an end, just a beginning. In 10 days, I have to have my right knee replaced. It brings officially to an end 50 years of running. It is with great sadness that I say goodbye to a part of my life that has defined my life since I was 8 years old. I have tried everything I can to bring healing and rehabilitation to that knee. My agenda failed. But I thought of something a wise woman once said to me. She said, "If you're fortunate, you can enjoy every blessing you desire in life, but you may not can enjoy it all at the same time." We live our life in chapters. We live our life in chapters. And sometimes when a chapter that we've invested so much in comes to an end, sometimes when our agenda is not met, we believe that God has abandoned us. We believe God does not care. It does not occur to us that what we think is an ending might be the beginning of a new chapter. We become so fixated on our agenda, on our chapter turning out as we envisioned, that we can become blind to the possibility of the providence of God so working in our life as to create for us a new pilgrimage, a new challenge, a new chapter of faith, a new possibility of opportunity. We can become so fixated on our chapter, our agenda coming out as we desire, that we cannot see that our God might be bringing a whole new narrative to our lives and throwing our agenda to the wind. We cannot see the delicious ambiguity in our existence. But sometimes, my friend, under the power of God, our triumphs are paving the way for tragedy. Our tragedies are paving the way for triumphs. Our grief is paving the way for a strange new joy. Our anguish paving the way for wisdom. Our failure paving the way for faith. Our lives have delicious ambiguity, and we don't know how the story ends. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Most of you in here, at least of a certain age, have seen the picture of Kim Fook. You may not recognize the name, but you know the picture. She is the 9-year-old Vietnamese girl who goes running down the road naked, her arms outstretched in anguish, her face full of terror, her skin seared with napalm. It is one of the most telling photographs of the brutality of war imaginable. We would think, given that picture of this agonized child, that this is how her story ends, but it doesn't. The photographer who snapped the picture grabbed her, whisked her to a hospital, and there they began to treat her for third-degree burns. And her burns were so severe that every time they cleaned her wounds, she passed out in agony. She lived. When North Vietnamese conquered the country, they realized this is the girl in the picture. This is the girl in the picture. And so they used her for propaganda purposes. When visitors would come, they would ask her to roll up her sleeves so they could see the ridged flesh, the horrible scars. But that's not how the story ends. A small group of Christians in Vietnam introduced her to new life in Christ. And if anyone is in Christ, he or she is becoming a new creature. And Kim Phuc became a Christian and was allowed to immigrate to Cuba, where she met another Vietnamese Christian, a young man with whom she fell in love, and they became married. And on their honeymoon to Canada, they defected and were allowed asylum. Not how the story ends. A few years ago, when she was 33 years old, Kim Phuc, the 9-year-old girl whose body had been seared by napalm, walked to the war memorial, the Vietnam War Memorial in Washington, D.C., and placed a wreath at the wall. And as she did so, a sea of American veterans parted before her and began to cheer. NPR had already interviewed to ask about her life, and her testimony had been, "God has guided me." But at that memorial, surrounded by American veterans, they asked her to speak, and she answered as honestly as she could, "I have suffered emotionally. I have suffered physically. But God has saved me. And God has given me faith and hope. The little girl that ran down that road screaming in agony now runs a foundation to benefit the victims of war. And under the providence of God, her story continues to move on. Most of you in here, even if you're not golfers, know that the 1999 U.S. Open champion Payne Stewart died in a freak airplane accident. You may not know the name of someone who died with him, Robert Fraley, quarterback from the University of Alabama, who became a sports agent and who led Payne Stewart to redemptive relationship with Christ. Fraley's good friend, the great pitcher Oral Hershiser, went into his personal gym the next day after Fraley's death, and this is what he found on the wall. Train your body as if you're going to live forever. But train your soul as if you could die tomorrow. That pretty much says everything. Train your body as if you could live forever. Train your soul as if you could die tomorrow. We don't know about our narrative. We don't know if we're coming or going, going or coming. We don't know if we're in the middle or the beginning or the end of our story. Or what chapter comes next? Judas, having betrayed the Christ, ended his life rather than give God the chance to create a new beginning. Peter, who failed Jesus just as miserably, allowed Christ to take his failure and use it as an impetus for a mature and charismatic faith. You and I cannot always make sense of our lives. But if we are in Christ, we must give Christ the freedom to mix up the narrative of our life. And out of our triumphs may come tragedy, and out of our tragedies may come triumph, and out of our frustration and failure may come faith. And out of our sorrow may come joy, even if we cannot understand it. Our lives have delicious ambiguity, but one thing is sure. If we will live open to Christ, our Lord will make us the new creature we are meant to be. That's how the story ends. May we pray together. God of grace and goodness, each of our lives is a mystery. The people who conspired together to arrest you and torture you and discredit you and kill you thought they were bringing your story to an end. But by your power, it was just a beginning. May our lives find your same resurrection strength. And may you recreate us in Christ's image. In the name of that Christ we pray. Amen.